Great. That created a good chat. Don't know what your chatting was, what skills we have in the room. For those that don't know me, my name's Neil. I'm on staff here as a curate, which means exciting things to be a vicar, so I've been learning lots over the last few years, including how to do weddings, how to do funerals, and all those exciting things. It's just a constant learning journey. But there's my middle son, who's in year six, so that's that age 11, I think, something like that. He's got a friend at school who is now cycling to school on a unicycle, which is impressive. I tried when I was at university, my 18th birthday. No, it can't be. It must have been my 20th birthday. The guys on my halls bought me a unicycle for my birthday. And after 3 years, I give it to someone else who could unicycle because I just couldn't do it at all. Never mind. It was one I tried, but it didn't work. Chris was telling us in this journey about his swimming. How's it going? doesn't swim anymore. Doesn't swim anymore. I was telling someone last night that my first experience of swimming, I've got an older brother who is a couple of years older than me, and my first attempt at swimming, and I saw what he did, so I did exactly the same thing, which meant that I walked out of the changing rooms, into the swimming pool, jumped straight in the swimming pool. My dad was still in the changing rooms and had to come running out and pick me out of the bottom of the pool as I sat on the bottom because I didn't know how to swim. I eventually learned how to swim, which was a good thing. But things we are learning. And we're in a season. This series that we're looking at in an evening is called Disciples, Following Jesus. And as Chris landed us last week, we are all learning this together. We are all learning this together. In the first week in the new year, we looked at whose responsibility is it? Whose responsibility is our growing? And we looked at the fact that it's God's responsibility to grow us and to grow faith in us, but it's our responsibility to create the environment for that, individually and corporately. Through the things that we each do in the day-to-day and through the things that we do together that help and enable each other to do that. The questions we ask each other, the challenges we bring, the have you thought about conversations. All of these things create an environment that help us to grow. And then last week, Chris talked about who we put our trust in, what we hang our lives upon. But thankfully, he landed it in a place that just reminds us that we're on this journey together. That God hasn't just said to us, right, get it all right now. And if you don't get it today, that's it, you're out. He says to us, come and learn from me. Come and follow me, which is the title of what we're going to look at tonight. Come, follow me. In Luke 6, which we looked at this morning as well, and Paul highlighted it as well in the talk this morning. It says, Luke 6:40, it says, a disciple or a student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. No student or disciple is above their teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their disciple. The promise of Jesus is that we can be like him if we fully learn from him. To be a disciple, to be one who follows, to be one who lets Jesus lead. But let's just get this sorted just before we move on. The gift of Jesus to us is for each and every one. Through Jesus, through the work on the cross, he fixes and sorts our relationship with God. We are made right. We are rescued. We find salvation. It's a gift. It's free. And it's to each and every one of us. The invitation of Jesus is to follow. If we want to just take the gift of salvation, we can take that gift. We can have it, and eternity is sorted, and it's an amazing gift. But Jesus invites us to follow, invites us to let him not just be our savior, to be our teacher, to teach us the things that he did, to teach us the way that he lived. And we get to do it now. We get to live on earth as if heaven is already here. We're told to pray, but we get to live it as well. We get to work it out in our communities. And so salvation is the free gift, but we're invited to follow. I was reading a book quite a while ago, and unfortunately I couldn't find it on my shelf when I was looking for this. I'm going to keep looking because I'll bring it. But it was some stories of different things that God had been doing. And there was one story in it of a lady who sadly and tragically, her husband died in the middle of doing a building project. And so she was like, what do I do? What happens now? He knew everything, and I don't quite know what to do. And then she suddenly had a thought, and this story goes on to say that she suddenly went, hang on, Jesus, you were a carpenter and a builder. You know how to do this. And so this story went on, how Jesus taught her everything she needed to do and how she needed to do it so that she was able to complete the tasks. And it was just this mind-blowing way of just seeing God teaching somebody something that she had no clue about. But he taught her everything that she needed to do and told her what to do in that relationship that we'll come back to. It was an amazing story, and I will try and find the story from where it was from, because it blew me away. I know for me it was early in my understanding of what I became. Well, I went to church my whole life. My parents took me to church. I absolutely loved it. At the age of 13, I did this amazing encounter with God that I can now describe as being filled with the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know what that was. Actually, not many people around me knew what that was either. They just thought it was a bit weird. So I kind of was stuck with it. I don't know what to do next. And then went to university, and at university connected into a whole group of people who were together, were trying to follow Jesus, and suddenly started to learn and understand from Jesus and from others around me asking me those questions. And as I was reading that story of that lady, I thought, this is amazing. What's he going to teach me? Where am I going to go? What am I going to see? And even I think if I made a list then of the things I'd hope for, there are so many more things that God has done, so many more places that I've been to, so many more things that I've seen in my life and in the lives of other people around me that I could never have added to that list at that point. Because Jesus is amazing, and he invites us to follow. So let's just have a little think just about how that looks, what that looks like, and then we'll get into the cost. Because there is a cost. There is a challenge that comes with the invitation of Jesus. But Jesus invited people to follow him. He invited people to follow him all the time. We have Matthew, the tax collector, who followed Jesus. He was a tax collector sitting. He was hated by loads of people. In fact, pretty much everybody, because he was on nobody's side. He was on his own side. But Jesus sees him. Jesus spots him. Jesus does what he always does, which is invited himself to his house, to hang out with him, to spend time with him, to talk with him. And at the end of it, it says that Levi, who we know to become Matthew, followed him, went the places that he went. The invitation of follow, the invitation, the word for follow is to accompany. To be a disciple of a leader's teaching, to learn to imitate. The people that Jesus called were invited to spend time, invited to learn. It wasn't an easy journey. We don't know all the stories of all the disciples, but there was times when it must have been amazing. There was times when they went with Jesus and saw some amazing things. They saw healings. They saw people raised from the dead. Just imagine being an observer of that. How exciting. But there was times when they got it wrong. There was times when life was hard. There was times when they went out and they came back and they were like, it didn't work like you said it would work. The magic didn't work. It's not magic. And he tries to help them to understand. He begins to teach them. Look, you need to understand. You need to learn. You need to see. You need to because he was teaching them that they might do it themselves. He knew at one point he was going to leave. He was going to leave them to be his church here on earth. And so he was teaching them like he is going to teach us. There was times of misunderstanding. There was times of and highlights, and there was lowlights. There was challenges, but they got to see the kingdom come. They got to see God at work. And what a privilege that is. What an amazing invitation it is of Jesus to allow him to be our teacher, to allow him to train us that we might see all that he has in store for us. But it wasn't easy. We don't quite know all that happened to all of those followers of Jesus. Tradition says that Matthew ended up writing the Gospels, which is amazing, the Gospel of Matthew. But it says, tradition says that, that he ended up one day being dragged from the place that he was in, staked to the ground, and beheaded as he followed Jesus. There's a cost to following Jesus. And that's what we want to get into from our reading today. So Luke 9. Because it's interesting that as we read through, Jesus wasn't in for grabbing everybody and anybody. He often put people off. The rich young ruler said to him, "What do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of God?" Jesus answers. He said, "What else? I've done all that." Jesus says, "Give up everything that you have and follow me. Give up everything you have and follow me." It was too much for the rich young ruler. I often wonder if he'd said yes to that, would he have kept everything anyway? But it was too much for him. And so as we think about being followers, because that's the invitation, what will it look like? What will it mean? So as we're looking at Luke 9, the cost of following, there's three situations that I want us to look at. And three areas that I think God is challenging us in as we think about following Jesus. Because I know that each of us are on different stages and journeys of that. For some of us tonight, we may be hearing Michael's invitation to say yes to Jesus for the first time. You've come along, you've come with friends, you don't really know what you're here for. But you want to say yes to Jesus. So, as they walked along the road, a man said to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." I will follow. I'll go wherever you go. But the sense is that he was so quick. He'd seen all of the amazing stories. He'd heard the stories. He'd seen the things happening. And he was like, "I want some of that. I want all the amazing stuff." But Jesus just reminds him, it's not as simple as that. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The sense of not having a place of his own. A sense of things not being ordered and sorted and knowing it all and fixing it all and getting it all sorted. You need to know that following Jesus is a life of simplicity. Of things not being simple, but a life of simplicity. A life where we're able to respond to the things of God. A life that means that we don't always get the things how we want them to be, and the big cars and the big flashy things and all this kind of things. It's a life of simplicity. It's a challenging life. And Jesus wanted those that were going to enter into it to understand it and know it. It's on the big and it's on the small. I lived in Sheffield for a while, and there was a conversation within our community, because there was a community of us that decided to live in a particular area of Sheffield, partly to do mission, and partly because we wanted to live out a life that meant we had the flexibility to do the things that we felt God was calling us to do. And one of those things, one of the deciding factors for us, was that we all wanted to live in a place where we could afford to live, that meant that all of us were couples, but we wanted to live in a space where we could live without both of us having to work. We wanted to buy houses that we could all live that way. And the conversation in our community was that someone else came up to us and said, it's all very well for you lot. It's like some of you are working part-time, full-time. One's working full-time so the other can get on with doing things. And it's all very well for you. But that's really hard for us. And the conversation went that actually they, for that person, the challenge they felt was, and the challenge that they realized as we had those conversations, is that what they were seeking after was the big house. And so they ended up having to max out on a mortgage to buy the big house, which meant that the two in the couple at that stage had to work full-time. And she was feeling grieved, and she was feeling, I think, a jealousy that she couldn't do the things that she knew God was wanting her to do. It wasn't mean she was missing out, but that was just the thing that was in her, the grief that was there, that was being kind of thrown at us. For us, we wanted to have the simplicity of life that meant that we could respond to the follower of Jesus, to where he was going. Not that we can't have stuff, but are we prepared to give it up if we have to? Are we prepared to hold on to things lightly enough that if Jesus says, give it away, we can say, yes, we can give it away. If there's someone else in need, if I have something that someone else needs, am I prepared to hold it lightly enough to say, it's not mine? This is God's gift to me. It's what it means to follow Jesus. A life of simplicity. He goes on to say, and another, he said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Seems a bit harsh. Go and bury your dead. But the sense in this is not one in which his father had just died and he needed to do the practical things. But the sense in this is that that his father was in the process of dying, and that he was going to tend and look after him in that time. And so I think the sense of what the response of the person is, yes, I'll follow you, but let me just. I want to do it, but not yet. We're going to come back to this in this third example as well. But in this one, it's that yes, but, and an indeterminate amount of time. We don't know when this thing's going to be finished. And I guess if the first one was a life of simplicity, then I call the second one a life of discipline. Are we prepared as we follow Jesus to be a people of discipline? The definition I want to give of discipline is doing the right thing at the right time in the right way for the right reason. Am I going to live a life of discipline? Yep. That is means that I will do the right thing at the right time in the right way for the right reason. The difficulty is that it doesn't mean that there's an easy yes or no. Will we do the right thing at the right time in the right way for the right reason? What does it mean to follow Jesus and be open to his lead? And it means that a life of discipline means that we need to be people who are accountable, living in community. Because it's really hard to figure this stuff out on your own. It's really hard to know what the right thing to do when it's just you working it out. Because actually you look and you kind of think, oh yeah, that'll be fine. Just do this because that's fine. And sometimes we need other people to see it and speak it to us that we're able to do the right thing at the right time. For us, one example, Natalie, my wife and I, I was saying that the privileges we've had to do the things and follow Jesus. And one of those places we went to was New Zealand, and we lived in New Zealand for a few years. And we knew God was calling us there. We got to go out and to visit it over an Easter. At that stage, Natalie and I were both teachers, so we used our Easter holidays to travel to New Zealand to visit and to check out. It was to work for a church that we would be together. We would be youth and children's workers, both of us part-time. And we knew. We went in that time for that Easter, and we knew that we were called there. The issue was, when were we called there? And they wanted us to start. We'd been out in the Easter. They wanted us to start in the September. Our dilemma was, I was just qualifying as a teacher. I was a maths teacher. If I'd started at the Christmas in New Zealand, if we moved in the Christmas days off of January, because of my training, in that September, I'd have got £10,000. For being a maths teacher. At that time, they were needing more maths teachers. It was called a golden handshake. And I just got £10,000 just for being a teacher. If I left when they wanted us to leave, I didn't get it. What do I do? How do I follow Jesus? And so it took a lot of praying. It took a lot of conversation. It took a lot of discerning. But we just knew it was right. We knew it was right to leave in the September. So I literally got back from my job. We got back from New Zealand and pretty much handed my notice in straight away, forsaking the £10,000. We have been blessed so much more. We got to come back. Our oldest son, Matthew, was born out in New Zealand. We brought him back when he was 8 weeks old. We came back for a month and then went back again. When he was 8 months old, moved back to the UK, moved to Bristol. That was about 13 years ago. I have no idea how we afford to fly all those flights, but it's way more than £10,000. God has just blessed us in so many ways. And you look back in hindsight and you think that wasn't a really hard, difficult decision to make, but it was at the time. We do it because we know that's what God's calling us to do at the right time, in the right way. What does it mean for us to follow Jesus, that we might be people who make those choices? And we're going to get it wrong. The disciples got it wrong all of the time. There's no condemnation. There's no, that's it, you're out. It's an opportunity to learn and understand the grace of God, his goodness, his faithfulness. And there's so many more stories that I could speak of times I've got it right and times I've got it wrong. So the cost of discipleship, a life of simplicity, holding things lightly enough that we're able to let them go if we need to, a life of discipline, doing the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reasons. And the final one, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. This one's a yes, but I've just got a little quick thing to do. Yes, but I've just got to get this sorted. I just want to go and say goodbye. Looking back towards. Again, it sounds harsh. It's his family. He just wants to say bye. But there's a hesitation in them. Jesus knows that there's a hesitation there that holds us back. A life of focus. Because the example he gives in describing it is the example of a plow. And the problem, I've never worked on a farm, I've never plowed a field, but I understand from plowing that the only way you can plow to get it right, to make it successful, is to focus in the direction that you're going. If you keep turning around and looking, now the only nearest example I can give is trying to set these chairs out, which are an absolute nightmare. But if I try and figure out so that we get one of my kind of things I like is kind of quite nice rows and kind of get them all in straight lines. If I kind of keep looking from different angles, I get to the end and I look from the one end and look back and they're like all over the place. Whereas if I just keep focused on the one line and keep walking in it, you end up. And it's the same with plowing, so I've been told. That if you keep on being distracted by other things and looking around you and what's behind you, you end up with this plowed line that kind of does this. And we go all over the place and we get lost. Jesus wants us to keep our eyes focused on him, that he might lead us and guide us to the places that he's taken. Not to get distracted by other things. What does it mean for you to be focused? Focused on him. A friend of mine, a mentor of mine once said, following Jesus is like listening to his heartbeat and walking in step with him. It's a slightly different analogy because it's hearing rather than seeing. But are we people who can walk in step with Jesus, that we know what he's doing, where he's at work? These are the things that he wants to teach us. He's not going to download it to us. Like, we're not going to do a ministry call now and go, right, everyone's got a life of simplicity, everyone's got a life of discipline, everyone's got a life of focus. The teacher wants to teach each one of us, but he just wants us to understand the cost. But the cost is worth it. The cost is worth so much more than anything we could try and work out and gain by our own strength and our own energy. The privilege to seek first the kingdom together, to see friends come to know Jesus and lives transformed, to see situations changed and transformed, working together to see communities, cities changed, because we're focused, disciplined, and living so simply that we're able to follow him. Because he's already doing it. He's already at work in our midst. He's already on with his kingdom. And he invites us to join in. A life of following Jesus. Ultimately, all of these things is surrender. Jesus, I surrender to you. At the heart of discipleship is a call of God to say, will you let me be Lord? Will you let me be Lord of everything? Because when you do, Lord of my relationships, Lord of my finances, Lord of my workplace, Lord of every decision, everything that goes on, when we say yes, life looks very different. Life looks a little bit like Jesus. But why would we want to surrender? Isn't it just easier? Take the package, take the free gift. Because it comes back to where we started with Michael. Because when we gaze on his beauty, what else could we do? When we gaze on who Jesus is, what else can we do? Let's pray. Let's just take a moment of stillness. Is that one of those areas, Sarah, if we could just put them back up again just so people can see and remember those three phrases. Is there a particular area, one of those life of simplicity, being able to hold things lightly, a life of discipline, a life focused? Is God challenging you today in one of those areas? Just going to invite the band to come back up. And my sense is, as we respond, and as I pray for us, that that for some of us, we just, in spite of the cost, we want to say yes. It might be the first time, it might be that you've done it before. But today, Jesus is just saying, will you follow me? Will you walk with me and learn what it means to be my disciple? I've got some stuff to talk to you about. There may be some things to give up on the way. But will you follow me? And so you can do that where you are. You can get someone around you.